Welcome back into the CC Podcast, everybody. It's Friday, November 3rd, morning here in Louisville, Kentucky. Looking good, feeling good. Dan Starnes up in Columbus, Ohio. Second pod of the week. We promised it. We're delivering. It's all we do. We've never broken a promise in the three-year history of the podcast. That's a guarantee. Dan, Halloween wrapped up. We flipped the page. It's November now. How was the Sennard family Halloween this week?
Sennard family Halloween was the same as it's been five of the last 6 years. The weather was not very cooperative. We had large, heavy snowflakes drop literally right as we started. Doesn't affect the kids. They were happy as can be. You know, even my youngest daughter, who we usually kind of pucker out early with her, she kept up all night. So, last 3 days I have just been absolutely plowing through the kids' candy to where it's a problem. I told my wife this morning, I was like, I don't care what you do with it. You got to get out of this house. So, they loved it. And, they're not too keen on Thanksgiving. I don't think any kid is at this age, but I know I'm looking forward to it.
Did they do last year? You brought up the Switch Witch thing. Are they still doing that?
You know what? Me and my wife haven't talked about it, but you know, for my sake, I hope the Switch Witch comes. Like, I'm the one that's eating all their candy. It's like, come on, Switch Witch. I don't know. We'll leave that up to mom.
I felt bad. Like, it was cold here, and I know we were all talking about, like, every Louisvillian was talking about being bundled up and all this stuff. And then I talked to you, and I talked to our buddy Weber, who just moved to Michigan, and it snowed on both of you guys. And I was like, I guess we need to just, you know, sack up, Dan Dockich, and complaining a little bit, because it was definitely cold. We had a good time. This is the first year, you know, Virginia's four now. This is the first year where, like, she's gotten it before, but where she's been, like, super into it. So John's two, and he was still having to, like, understand the concept and go up to houses. And, you know, we're trying to get him to stay trick-or-treat. And you kind of have to just, like, hold his hand through the entire thing. Virginia's, like, fucking just, like, sprinting ahead of all of us. Like, going from house to house. She's, like, going across the street. This was the first time where, you know, John and my niece Audrey, Virginia's cousin, like, they both were, you know, they went down the street, and that's about usually all we do, and they were done. And Virginia was not done. Like, she was like, I want to keep going. So we went over a street, like, we kept doing that, like, saw a bunch of UofL fans on that street. We didn't hang out over on that street more. But she was having she had a really good time, got a ton of candy. It was just fun to see them so happy for,
yeah.
It's just, like, it's the best. Seeing, like, their eyes light up, it's awesome.
Now, let me ask you, is she, like, the person that goes home and, like, separates her candy into certain groups, or is she just kind of, you know? My kids used to do that, and then this year I walked in, and, like, both my, you know, not Mal, she was asleep, but my oldest two were doing snow angels and all. They dumped out their candy and were doing snow angels. I was like, okay, well, I guess that means I'm going to bed. So
she was really into dumping the candy out. Like, she actually said that you have to do that. I think she's seen it on, like, TV and stuff. And so she did, like, four times where she wanted to show mommy all the candy she got, and she had to, like, dump it all out on the floor. She didn't separate anything. She was very excited about the whole ordeal. But then we had the thing where she woke up on November 1st, on Wednesday, and she wanted to put up her Christmas tree. Like she, the switch just flipped like that. So we had a situation where we still have our Halloween decorations up outside. Mary's putting up the Thanksgiving stuff inside. Virginia's putting up her Christmas tree while wearing a Sarah Sanderson Hocus Pocus outfit. So it was just like, I mean, we got worlds colliding in our house, just holidays, just conflicting. It's just, it's a war of the worlds here. I don't even know what we're doing, but who cares?
Real quick, I've actually felt bad about this, but at the same time, I was like giggling. So my oldest Cam, like, I mean, he dead sprints, you know, that's just what they do at that age. They dead sprint every house and whatever. But, like, he's in this Grim Reaper outfit. And he, like, I feel bad for him. He, like, strained a muscle in his back or something, or he was, like, cramping. And, like, you can't see his face, but you see, like, this Grim Reaper just, like, every time he, like, goes into a sprint, he just, like, hunches over and, like, grabs. He's like, oh, God. And I was like, buddy, you're 9, man. This can't be happening already. He's like, it hurts. And I'm like, you know, I didn't want to, I felt bad for him. But yeah, the visual of it was quite amusing.
He's definitely your son. Definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
Sounds a lot like old 9-year-old Dan.
Yeah.
Real quick, I know we had some technical difficulties on the last podcast. A bunch of people reached out and said, you know, it was glitching a little bit. They were having trouble skipping ahead. I don't know. I mean, we had kind of a crappy connection, and so we stopped and we re-recorded, and I kind of like spliced the two audio files together. I don't know if that fucked everything up. I've done it before and it hasn't been an issue, but apologies. Hopefully this one will be fine. I don't know what was going on. At least it was the Kenny Payne's a Disaster episode. It wasn't,
yeah,
it wasn't like a happy episode.
I would please listen to it, and then hopefully we never have to revisit that subject, although I think that's going to be false.
Speaking of, I think we have to start today. I want to talk a little bit about what happened on Wednesday. And I know, Dan, you're kind of out of the belly of the beast up there in Columbus, so you were a little bit removed from the situation, but we are officially in rumor season. There's no question about it. It was a wild, wild day. Basically, like I got alerted by a couple of people early in the day that there was a rumor out there that was floating around. And if you're listening to this, I'm assuming you've heard the rumor at this point, so we can just lay it out there. There was a rumor that Kenny Payne and Caron Davis had gotten into a physical altercation in practice, and that security had to come in and break it up. That was the gist of it. And I'm like, oh, okay. Like that doesn't. I'm like, that doesn't seem good. It also doesn't seem like something that's real. But who knows at this point? Like I don't know what's going on. So it comes up on the radio show. We have a text line. We use it pretty heavily. And a bunch of people are texting, talking about the rumor and saying, can you address it? And I don't feel comfortable saying it at this point because I haven't really heard it anywhere else. So I'm just like, I've heard the rumor. I'm not going to say what it is because I don't know if it's true. I don't want to be the one like putting it out there. I go straight from radio. We have Virginia's parent-teacher conferences at her school, which went great, by the way. She's doing great.
Nice.
I get approximately 75,000 texts while we're at this thing from, like, everybody in Louisville just asking if I've heard about this, asking what's going on. You know, Trilly Donovan's tweeting. You know, this college basketball insider who always seems to know everything is tweeting that things are getting spicy at Louisville. The coaching changes account, which I think is like 80% satire, is tweeting that Danny Manning's been asked to be the interim, and he's saying no. Like it's all just madness. And you know, U of L reaches out. Zach Greenwell, who's the new Kenny Klein. He's the SID. He reaches out. Like, I don't text him first. He texts me, and he's like, you know, I'm always willing to clear up stuff. This one, I felt the need to like reach out to you because it's so patently false. There's no truth to this whatsoever. There's not an altercation. There's never been an altercation. I don't know where this came from. And the story that's out there kind of starts changing as U of L clarifies. And you know, now it becomes, well, it wasn't a fight at practice today. It was a fight at practice last week. That's why he didn't play in the Kentucky Wesleyan game. And so U of L kind of comes out and clarifies again. Like, there has not been a fight at practice. Like, it has not happened, did not happen. And so, like, you take that for what it's worth. Obviously, if U of L is trying to cover up something, it wouldn't be the first time. That's every athletic program, every sports team, all that stuff. So I reach out to a couple of people who I think would know and who also I don't think would hide it, who are upset with the state of things and who would tell me if something bad had happened. And they, like, to a person, everyone that I've talked to that I think would know about this has said there's just no truth to this. So I don't know where it got started. I don't know how it happened, but To my knowledge, I can't say with 100% certainty because I was not at practice, but I think that this whole Caron Davis, Kenny Payne thing just sounds totally bunk. And it just sets the stage for, it's going to be 5 months of this shit, isn't it?
Yeah, toxic energy.
It's going to be just 5 months of, hey, I heard this is going on. You know, I've said on the podcast every year, my favorite thing growing up, and it's been a consistent thing my entire life, is that whenever Louisville loses a conference game or has a bad stretch in January, there's always been that rumor, hey, like, I heard this player is having sex with this player's girlfriend. And like, that's why they're not playing well. Like, we used to hear that back in the day when, like in sixth grade, fifth grade, Alvin Sims and DeJuan Wheaton, whoever the starting backcourt is, someone was always boinking the other's girlfriend. Like, there's always an explanation for what's going around here. Like, Louisville basketball is the thing in this city. And so rumors spread, And it's just going to be that for a full 5 months now. And who knows how much of it's going to be true. The only way that Kenny Payne and company can keep it from happening is to just win. And they'll try to start that process on Monday. But man, this is already a top five dumb season of Louisville basketball, and it hasn't even fucking started yet. We haven't even gotten going.
I mean, obviously Louisville's my favorite city in the world. But and everybody knows this. Like, it's big enough to where like you feel like you're somewhat in a big city, but like at the same time, like gossip can run just absolutely rampant in Louisville when something catches fire. So I hate that that rumor got started. The only rumors I like are the wings. We're on Shelbyville Road. That was a joke. There we go. But no, seriously though, like the only thing I could think of was like the TNT segment with Shaq and Charles and Ernie, and like they're like LAPD was called, and like Charles Barkley's like LAPD was called, like after like I think like the Clippers and Lakers got into a fight like after the game when they just absolutely lost it. But yeah, I don't know. Like you said, that it's unfortunate. You know, it's probably due to the on-court performance. There's just so much negative, toxic energy around the program right now, and it's tough. Like it's gonna be a, like you said, a long 5 months here, and you know, hopefully, you know, even if things aren't going well, I mean, I hate that kind of stuff gets out because you know
Yeah.
that's pretty damaging to a kid like Karan. He's probably like, "What the fuck?" Like, so I don't know. I don't like it.
I did like that everybody was sort of like, well, that explains why he didn't play in the Wesleyan game. I'm like, did you see him play in the Simmons game? I mean, I think that explains why he didn't play in the Wesleyan game. And Caron Davis, for his for his like he retweeted the some of the tweets that were out there saying that this is just not true. I mean, I've got it was just pure madness. Like, I've got people. I had somebody who was telling me they'd heard that we've already locked up our next head coach. Like that we've already gotten to that point where it's not like, hey, what names are out there? Who's Josh talking to? It's like, it's done. He's gonna be here in March. I was like, I don't think it is, but who knows? I mean, you kind of take all that stuff with a grain of salt. It did remind me a little bit of the last Chris Mack season slash the Mike Begee season where, like, these rumors were out there, it seemed like every single day. The only difference there was I think every single one of those rumors wound up being true for that season, which will, I think, live in infamy forever.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Is it going to be awkward if we start like 4-0?
What do you mean?
Like, I feel like there's so much negative energy around the fan base, and like the fans have already decided like Kenny Payne's not going to work. Like, if we start 4-0, like I feel like people are going to be like, I mean, obviously, like we're U of L fans first, but at the same time, like I think we've reached the point now where I think people like want to see a change almost no matter what, because they just know that this guy isn't going to take us to the next level. And if it gets to like 4-0, they're going to be like, okay, yeah, but I don't know. I mean, I
Well,
know the competition isn't, you
if
know.
we get to 4-0, it'd be a win over Texas. So
Well, yeah. Okay. Well,
I think everybody will be happy at that point. But 3-0, I see your point.
yeah.
I mean, we play three really bad teams to start the season. Kevin Sweeney of Sports Illustrated had his rankings come out where he did the thing where you rank all 362 teams in college basketball. He had us, I think, 139. He had UMBC 306, who's our first opponent. They're one of the worst teams in the entire country. We opened as a 10.5 point favorite, which when point spreads come out, it's the funniest thing because you can always tell like where the fan base. Nobody ever reacts to a point spread when you tweet it out with like, "Hey, that number sounds about right." It's either like, "Bet the fucking house on Rutgers," or it's like, you know, "I'm putting my next mortgage on U of L to win," just depending on where we are. And so when you could have announced any number for us being a favorite over UMBC, and U of L fans were just going to, there's blood in the water right now. They're going to be like, "I'll bet my next house on UMBC winning the game." But Louisville is a 10.5 point favorite, and I do feel like there's a chance that we come out and we beat them by like 15, and people go nuts. And that's sort of sad because any other reasonable U of L team in our lifetime wins this game by 25 points or can name the score. UMBC is not good. Coppin State is really bad. Talking about Sweeney's rankings, he has them 360th out of 362 teams. And Chattanooga is a good program that went to the NCAA tournament 2 years ago, but they're in like that 200 range. Like that'll be the toughest of those three games. We should win all three of these games easily, but I don't think anybody's feeling overly confident about that. The only good thing that I can say is that if we lose to UMBC on opening night, at least it won't be like the biggest win in their program's history.
Yeah, that's true.
At least their Twitter account won't be making like a huge deal of it. And when you look at the schedule, I was like, did we kind of schedule this way on purpose? Like Coppin State has won a game as a 15 seed. Chattanooga went to the Sweet 16 in 1997. I feel like we scheduled really bad teams that won't make a huge deal out of beating us because they've had bigger wins in their history, which is not the dumbest thing we've ever done.
Yeah, and like, I get it, and this is a little bit off topic, but I think we're honoring Denny that game, which like obviously Denny deserves to be honored, and you know it's the first game since his passing. But man, like, I know you can't like really put these things off like a whole lot, but honoring the 10-year team last year, honoring Denny, and you know like the crowd is going to be what it is. Like it's pretty disheartening. Cause I feel like they deserve like, you know, sold out, you know,
yeah.
team is rolling. It just, I hate that that's going to be the case, but he obviously deserves to be honored. And I hope we get a good outcome.
Yeah. Somebody texted into the show yesterday and was like, I've got an idea. Let's really make our voices heard. Let's show up for the Denny Crum stuff. And then let's stage like a walkout. And I was like, one, like 500 dudes walking out of the game isn't going to do much. Two,
Yeah. Everyone's
aware of the situation. Like, you know, it's not like Josh Hurd is watching this and being like, oh, I thought we were ranked. I didn't realize until the fans walked out that we're not really good. Like, Josh is aware of the situation. Everyone's aware of the situation. Stuff like that isn't going to change anything. The crowd's going to be bad as is. It's just all, I mean, the only thing that can change anything is Louisville winning games. And we'll see if they can do that. I don't think I've got anything else on that front. It's pure comedy all week. We need football to keep this thing going is what I'll say. We need a distraction.
I totally agree. Yeah, football, just we're going to hang our hat on that and women's volleyball and men's soccer. Hey, geez, how about that the other night?
Big win over Pitt in the ACC tournament.
Yeah, that was awesome. Had a little midfield goal.
It's DBJ.
We'll keep that rolling.
This is a very cool sports weekend. Baseball's over now. Most boring World Series of all time. That was the Reds did sweep the World Champs, so you know we are
World Series champs. Whatever.
We also signed a Tony Santion to a minor league deal. We're definitely back.
We are.
But we've got Breeders' Cup this weekend, which is very cool.
Mm-hmm.
We've got NBA and NHL going on simultaneously. We're in the height of football season. And we got a question last episode about the Breeders' Cup Classic. I think it was actually from your brother. I did want to bring this up on the pod because I think it's cool. But David Miller, who played football at UofL and is a Louisville native, he played football at Trinity, was a three-year letterman at UofL in the mid-'80s on Snellenberger's first teams. He runs MPG Media Services in Louisville. He's one of the owners, one of three owners of the Horse 3 Technique that's going to run in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. They claimed the horse for like $40,000 a couple years ago from Bill Parcells, which is pretty cool.
Awesome.
It was a 36-1 winner in a race on Derby Day, if you remember that this past year. Or in 2022. And if you remember it and you bet on it, it's probably because it has UofL silks. It's got the red and white silks with the Cardinal logo. And I kind of, now that I remember leaving that out of a pick four and being like, well, if I'd fucking known it had UofL silks. So if you just want to spend some money on a Cardinal horse this weekend, 3 Technique in the Breeders' Cup Sprint is worth some money.
It's like, don't have to twist my arm too hard here. It's like, I will be doing that.
Do you have any other bets that you're have you even looked yet?
No, that's the thing. Like, I know we got the sheets this morning emailed from our buddy Craig, so we're going to have to take it. Although I'm golfing this afternoon, so
ooh,
I'm going to miss a lot of the race. Well, I guess it's on the West Coast, so I should be able to catch some of the late night racing. But yeah, we're actually having people over tomorrow. And like, I've like kind of like, I'm up here. I'm known as like the horse racing guy, but I'm the worst horse racing gambler like anyone's ever seen.
It's
so,
a lot of pressure.
Like that, it really is. That's why I was like texting you guys this morning. I'm like, guys, I need winners here. Like, I can't look stupid again. Like Derby was an absolute bloodbath. Like they were like, who's like Mage? I was like, yeah, I didn't see him in there. So yeah, if anyone has some sure winners that's listening to the pod, please, I'll take anything at this point.
All right, let's we had a ton of questions. I mean, we literally had like 143 question submissions on Tuesday's episode after the Kenny Payne loss to Wesleyan. So we didn't get to many of them. We'll take some that hopefully won't be as post Wesleyan loss centric, and then we're going to talk about the Virginia Tech game. First, because we only took like five questions. Keith Pointer says, what happens first? Cards football plays an away game at Blacksburg, or the ACC disbands? So we got the new schedules out. The new model dropped on Monday. We haven't talked about it yet. The schedule had to change because we added SMU, Stanford, and Cal. So we are now set to play Virginia Tech away for the first time in two seasons, 2025. It will have been over a decade, and we won't have played a single game in Blacksburg, which sucks. I mean, it's one of the coolest road venues of all time. I think the ACC is at least going to hold up for two more years. So I think we finally get to play Virginia Tech before the league goes kaput.
No, I agree with you there. And that's going to be like a possible road trip. Like that looks – that the environment, every time I see it on TV, I'm like, God damn that. Even when they're like – not great. I mean, they just absolutely show up and show out. Like, one of the best college football entrances, great atmosphere. And, like, I know we're playing this weekend. We want to get a W. But, like, it's good for the league when Virginia Tech is good at football. So, yeah. I'm looking forward to Saturday. But, yeah, no, I think a road trip there is a must for any Louisville fan.
Are you ready to make the Stanford trip next fall?
Yeah, I mean, it's all happening. You got to come out here. It's all happening. But no, I don't think I'm going to be making it out to Palo Alto.
I just imagine like the end of Good Will Hunting montage. I mean, like my shitty like Civic. It's like just like the camera's like pans to me driving to Stanford, California by myself. Elliot Smith blasting. I don't know. I mean. Also, are we going to go to Charlotte if we make the conference championship game? We got to figure this out.
Yeah, I know. Well, we've been texting about it. Like, Charlotte, this is the thing. Like, I need to take this one game at a time like the players do. Like, I'm getting ahead of myself, texting about, hey, if we make it to Charlotte, if we make it to Miami, you know, are those on the table? So, I would think I think Charlotte is probably realistic, and then – you know, if something were to happen, then we'll tackle Miami at some point. It's like gotta smooth things over in the home front before I make any commitments here.
Paul says, since basketball is dead to me once again, how's Louisville baseball looking this coming season? I think Louisville baseball is going to bounce back. I mean, they haven't had two really bad seasons in a row ever under Dan McDonnell. And last season, I think you can say, if it wasn't the worst season they've had, but it was the most disappointing. They were number three in the country at one point. So I don't know. They just kind of fell apart in conference play. I would be very surprised if they're not much better. And Dan's a guy who learns from his mistakes. He adjusts really well. He didn't want to use the transfer portal. He realized, I think this past year, that you kind of have to use the transfer portal now. And so they hit the portal pretty hard to fill some gaps in the roster.
I think we've seen more than anything, like not only in college baseball with like some of the past College World Series winners, but even Major League this year, like you just got to get to the dance, and then it's just kind of who gets hot at the right time.
It's like MLB. You know,
yeah, exactly. I mean, Rangers kind of limped in as a wild card. Diamondbacks limped in as a wild card, and next thing you know, they're playing for the World Series. So I think I'm in total agreement with you. I don't think Dan's going to have two bad back-to-back seasons. I think he recruits too well, and just the style of play they have, I think, doesn't call for two back-to-back bad seasons.
The Real A-Web says, will Dan be addressing his Danny Manning hype that drove me to follow suit?
That's actually hilarious. Like, here's the deal. I will say, when Danny Manning was at Tulsa, okay, I was like, hey,
I legitimately thought Danny Manning was a good coach.
It became a joke.
You for a while thought that he was the real deal.
No, I did. And then he got to Wake Forest, and I was like on the train. And then like things started going very badly, and I was the only member left on the train.
Let's just take a moment to acknowledge the fact that at one point in time, your two like hottest coaches' names were Danny Manning and Steve Alford.
Okay. Well, this is true, but I will say I also like, and I'm sure we'll have to tackle this at some point. Like I was beeping the horn for Mick Cronin like louder than anyone, and I feel like if push comes to shove, he's going to be at the top of everyone's list here. But that's besides the point. I've had a couple bad calls, but no, I mean now it's at the point where, you know, like even me, I'm like, Danny, you know, we got to stand up a couple times a game here. Like at least let's take a walk up and down the bench and show us a little something. Show us you're alive here.
I mean, I'm sure he gives at least something of a shit.
I know. I'm just busting balls.
But the demeanor that he has could not give a different story. Like,
yeah.
If you had told me that he actually has fallen asleep during a game, I wouldn't be shocked at this point.
Very Isaiah Thomas at Florida International-ish. Like,
yes.
Same demeanor. Is this guy, like, you know, is he with us here or what? But yeah, I mean, and not to call anyone out, it kind of goes for the whole bench. Like we need to, even if we're bad, like we got to liven up that bench, like just to get some energy going.
He looks like me when one of my kids is taking my phone and I'm forced to watch the shitty kid show on TV. It's like Blippi's on. I'm just like staring into the void. Like I can't go anywhere. I can't do anything. But God knows I'd rather be doing anything else in the world than this.
Where is Steve Alford right now?
He's at Nevada.
Oh. Are they doing any good?
Not really.
Oh. Well, you hit some, you miss some.
Card Kong says, when is Danny coming back for a game?
Weather dependent, maybe next Thursday. I know it's a night game, but we'll see what the story is. I'm probably going to come back for Virginia or Kentucky. When you got three kids, and you live 3 hours away, there's a lot that kind of goes into it. So we'll figure it out as we go.
Nathan Snyder says, if KP loses two out of the first three games, is he out before the team travels to NYC? Literally, no. I think figuratively, yeah. If you lose two of these first three games, then there's no way the season's going to go well. And I think the writing will have never been more clearly on the wall if that takes place. You can't lose any of these three games, really, if we're being honest.
Yeah, at that point, like when Kenny goes to Josh Hurd's office, like he will have the list out on his desk, not even hiding it. So
it's just like spray painted on his door. It's like Cronin, Drew.
He's got like UCLA gear like hanging out.
At the very bottom, it's like, maybe you? ?
Oh, that's hilarious.
Ryan says, what's the realistic possibility that Jeff Brohm wins more games in one season than Kenny Payne does in his first two? The fact that we even have to seriously entertain this is, I mean, Brohm's already won seven. He could theoretically win as many as, what, 12? We're probably looking at like a 10, in the 10 range. I think that this team will win more than six games. I can't guarantee it after what we've seen so far. But I'll take Kenny Payne winning more in two seasons combined than Jeff in one. But the fact that it's even a real discussion is horribly depressing.
These are the meanest questions I've ever heard. I feel dirty for answering it, but I also know that I had to actually think about it for a second. So, God, I hope not.
The next question is, one, is there any history between Dan and VT fans? And two, does Kenny pass Pegues in all-time wins? He's won nine games, I think.
These questions, god damn it. I don't know any Virginia Tech fans, but Pegues, like I guess it, you know, he was done. If Danny takes over, Pegues, at least we know, like, got dealt a like very better hand than Danny will have been dealt,
I guess. Bert says, start, bench, cut: Jawar Jordan, Bilal Powell, Michael Bush. Ooh, this is tough.
God damn. Well, I'm definitely starting Michael Bush. And like, God, I could go either way on Jawar and Belial, but because Jawar is current and got to show him some love, I'll bench him and I'll cut Belial, even though it's like a dead heat.
How about this? I'm going to start Belial.
Oh, my God.
I'm going to bench Bush. I'm going to cut Jawar, which just seems so wrong. They're all so good. Belial was a fucking beast. Bush,
he was. But
if we had seen Bush for that full 2016, I think my answer would be different. But we,
I was gonna say I'm projecting that he like didn't get hurt and like what we would have saw.
Yeah, I mean that's fine to do. There's no wrong answer here. They're all so good. I mean, all of these questions are just some variation of the same thing. Trevor says, is there any danger of us missing out on an Orange Bowl if we lose the conference championship game? Yeah, I mean, if I think the worst case scenario for us right now is FSU slips up somewhere between now and the end of the season. They, you know, we play them in the Orange Bowl, and then if we lose to them, they don't go to the playoff anymore. They would take the spot in the Orange Bowl, and we would end up playing in a still a good bowl game, but not. Yeah, I think every single bowl projection out there right now has us in the Orange Bowl. Almost all of them have us playing Ohio State, which is would be a hell of a lot of fun. But there's still, like, props to this guy, Zach. I can't remember his name. I just remember I got sent the link yesterday. He laid out on Twitter the full, like, scenario for us to make the playoff. And I told you, I'm not there yet. We've got to beat. I will start doing scoreboard watching. If we win on Saturday and then we win next Thursday over Virginia, I'll spend that next weekend being like, ooh, we need Texas to lose. We like I'll get into it then. I can't look that far ahead right now. I've got to get these two wins under our belt, and then we can start having some fun and talk about this semi-seriously.
God, I so wish this was a 12-team playoff year. I can't believe I'm missing this by 1 year. And, like, the reason I say that, like, I have people up here with ties to Ohio State and Michigan. So, like, I'll text, like, hey, like, we're projected against you guys in the Orange and like in the Orange Bowl. And for them, they're like, oh, so I guess they think, you know, Ohio State fans like, oh, I guess they think we're going to lose to Michigan. And like if it's Michigan, like, I guess they think we're going to lose to Ohio State. And like, that's like a total slap in the face to them. But I'm like, God, I like couldn't be more excited. And they're probably like, yeah, I think if that happens, like half our team's going to sit out and go to the NFL. I'm like, God, that's such, I hate that.
Yeah. Fuck you guys.
Yeah.
You live with a bunch of losers, Dan.
So. I mean, I'm just telling you what I'm hearing, but I'd be excited. I don't care.
Yeah, me too. Casey says, is Kenny Payne's Spirit Children quote the funniest quote a UofL coach has ever made? It's up there. Do you even hear that?
Hold on, say this. I don't know what the quote is.
So we've talked. It's been a thing on the radio show now for a full week. In his media day press conference, not the ACC media day, but the one they did the next day at UofL, Kenny Payne was asked about what type of player that he's looking for these days. And he said he used the phrase spirit children. We're looking for players that bring like a great spirit into that have a good spirit about them, that have a good aura about them, that you want to play with, they have good energy. And I've never been like, why did you say that? More like spirit children is what we're looking for right now. Like, it's just
my daughter Lila just had her cheerleading showcase this weekend, and I'm like pretty sure that's what the coach told her on the way out the door. Like, wow, what a lovely spirit you are. That's unfortunate.
It's like he's run out of ways to say the same bullshit over and over and over, so he just was looking for something new. It's like you trying not to say 100%, like, and he just like glitched. He had no idea where to go, and he was like, "Spirit children, sure." Like that's what I'm thinking of, and he had no pivot after that.
I feel like I would be an awful. Well, I mean, this isn't breaking news here. I would be so bad with the media if I was a head coach, because like a guy like Jeff Brohm, he's great because he says the same thing over and over, but like he just like mixes his words, like, you know, like he somehow they'll ask him like, hey, are you guys looking ahead? And like, next thing you know, he's like, yeah, and, you know, we got Juwan Jordan. He's agile and he's strong as a bat. Like, he just goes straight into football talk. And I'm like, God, how did he do that? He just totally turned the question. Like, for me, I'd be like, I can't even give an example of how bad my answers would be. Like, they'd be like, did he just say like that he wants to lose this game? like, I would say the dumbest shit. So
did he just say that we don't have more talent than Kentucky Wesleyan?
Yeah, no, like, so, and that's like, I do sympathize a tad with Kenny, because even though he doesn't do enough media spots to where that should be happening, but yeah, some of the answers, they can get repetitive, so I think he's just trying to try different ways to say it.
Yeah, I don't think I said this on Tuesday's podcast, but I have a friend, national college basketball writer, who was telling me that they had gone to ACC Media Day, and he said, I asked Kenny Payne, I had a one-on-one session with him, and I asked him a question about, you know, after the 0-6 season last year, did you hear, after the 0-6 start last year, did you hear the murmurs of people saying that they wanted you fired? And he's like, no, I didn't hear any of that talk whatsoever. You know, just like that stuff doesn't get back to me. And he says, he keeps talking. 30 seconds later, in the same exact question, he says, I was getting hundreds of calls from people that were asking me, hey, are you okay with all this talk about you potentially getting fired? And all this stuff. And it just reminded me of like the Charlie Murphy with he's like, I'd never just kick Charlie's couch, dude. What do you think I am? So he's like, yeah, I remember kicking the shit out of Charlie's couch, like the same answer to the question.
Oh, God, that's so good. That's hilarious. But, no, I mean, like I said, I think when you give so many answers to so many media people, you just start getting mixed up in your head. So, yeah. Sorry, Ken.
Yeah. David says, I have participated in the happiness hedge betting concept this football season. It, of course, has not done well for my wallet, but my betting history and luck led me to do this, and now we're 7-1. Do I have to keep going?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. No question about it. Yeah, I mean, you're paying for our satisfaction.
Yeah, at this point, whatever you've been doing, you've got to keep doing. And look, Louisville, we're going to talk about the VT game here in a second. Louisville's won 9 straight home games. It's the 5th longest winning streak, a home winning streak in the country. We've covered the spread in all 9 of those games, which is kind of crazy to think about. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, keep it going. Keep betting.
Got to keep it going. All right, let's talk about Virginia Tech in full here. Before we do, though, reminding you about our sponsors at Home Field Apparel. They announced, I think this week, finally, the UofL bomber jacket is coming out.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get my hands on one of those. Those look awesome.
We can make that happen. I think it's coming out tomorrow. There's the UK one coming out at the same time. They're going to reveal that. It's going to be awesome. Check out homefieldapparel.com when it drops. If you want to see the first look at it, you can also see it on their social media channels, at Home Field Apparel, without an E on Twitter, and Home Field Apparel on Instagram. Again, this bad boy is beautiful. You're going to want to check it out. And look at all their stuff, because they've got a ton of good UofL stuff and a ton of good college stuff for 150 other teams. Homefieldapparel.com. Use the promo code CHRONICLE15 when you check out. It'll save you 15% off your first purchase. All right, Dan. Big one coming up in about a little bit over 24 hours. Cards hosting Virginia Tech. Sole possession of second place in the ACC is on the line. Let's get to the bad news first here before we start talking about the game. I've heard, I don't know when you're listening to this podcast, I don't know if this is going to come out or if it's already come out. You may have already heard this when you're listening, but Louisville has a little bit of an injury problem coming into this game. A lot of buzz out there that some very key players are either going to be not 100% or not playing at all. You got a couple guys in the offensive line that I'm not sure we're going to see. Juwan Jordan is still dealing with that hamstring issue that has been going for a long time. Not sure if he's going to be able to give it a go. Jamari Thrash, I don't think we're going to see him in this game. If we do, he's going to be limited. Jarvis Brownlee, as you might have guessed, has been limited all week. I don't know if he's going to play in this game. It's a lot of big-time names, a lot of guys that have been key contributors that are banged up right now. It hurts for this game. It also hurts because you have a short week coming up against Virginia right after it. But, I mean, I was already nervous about this game. The 9.5-point spread seems like a lot for a Virginia Tech team that has looked totally different in the last month than it did in the first month. But now these injuries, I'm officially very, very nervous, Dan.
I mean, thank God we're at home. That makes me feel a little bit better. Let me ask you this. because these games are obviously, like, you know, very pertinent to the ACC title race. Would you rather have these injuries, like, going into this game and, like, possibly affecting this game in Virginia next week, or have these injuries going into the Miami game with Kentucky on deck?
This game. I mean, I think this game is tough, obviously, but I think that it's more winnable without those guys. And
I agree, but I think, like,
I know what you're saying.
These two might be more pertinent to the ACC title race.
If VT beats us, they control their own destiny, and their schedule to end the season is not tough at all. Yeah, I think, you know, of course, when you look at the ACC now, I feel like anybody can beat anybody, so it's not like they're just going to walk. But they play at Boston College next week. They host NC State the week after that, and then they wrap up with Virginia on the road, who's now playing a little bit better. So, you know, they'll probably be favored in all three of those games. So, yeah, I think it's – you need to get this one. I just feel like if we don't have Jawar and Jamari and some of these other guys against Miami on the road, we're not going to win. Like, I don't think we have a shot. I think we can grind out a win on Saturday without some key contributors, and I guess you just roll the dice there. But it's a fair question. There's no real right answer, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, and I texted you this morning. I'm a little, like, Jawar, yeah, that sucks. We saw it in the Pittsburgh game. Like, I hope he plays. Obviously, we're going to lose something if he doesn't. We do have very capable backups there. Jamari, that one stings. You hope Kevin Coleman steps up. You hope guys like, you know, like a Jimmy Callaway, you know, can kind of step into that role. But the offensive line, that's where it really kind of terrifies me, because we've seen if Jack is under pressure that he's really not the same quarterback. So, yeah, it makes me nervous. But like I said, I'm glad that we're at home. And I don't know. I trust the fact that we'll somehow, you know, be ready, and it'll be a next man up mentality.
I think the thing that concerns me there is you already have Renato Brown out. Austin Collins is filling in for him, which is fine. He's a guy who's played a lot of snaps. I think you're starting now to see the offensive line depth is going to be a factor. John Paul Flores has played a decent amount recently. Who played at Virginia before. He's played a lot of places before. But after that, now, if we're looking at replacing, like, three guys on the O-line, you're starting to get into the territory of, like, guys who don't have a ton of experience now. We're running out of transfers to use. You know, are you going to play Luke Burgess, some, the true freshman? Like, yeah, I think that we're getting very, very thin on the offensive line, and that O-line has been very good all year long. So, I'm with you. It's certainly concerning. I think the good thing, though, is the defense is still mostly healthy. Mm-hmm. You hope that they're going to keep Virginia Tech in check and then allow the offense to play well. But you're right. Like, we're an offense, when you look at our stats, Jawar Jordan is above and beyond, like far and away, our leading rusher. I think the next close, Garendo has like 56 carries for 200 and change. And it's the same thing at receiver. Jamari Thrash has, I think, 46, 48 catches. The next most catches on the team is Kevin Coleman with 17. We need some guys to step. Like, we have not been a very well-spaced-out offense. We've had two key game breakers that we've relied on very heavily in the running game and the passing game. We're going to have to spread it around a little bit more on Saturday, and some guys are really going to have to step up in a way that, honestly, they didn't do against Pitt. So, I mean, I'm definitely nervous about this.
Could be trick play Saturday.
Would love trick play Saturday. It's going to be a beautiful day out there. It's going to be like 62 degrees at kickoff. There's not supposed to be any rain. Hopefully card march at 1 o'clock is going to be fantastic. I would expect the crowd to be about what it was for Duke. I'm thinking like 52 or around there, and they should make an impact on this game. Virginia Tech, look, VT has been so good the last three of their last four games. They've beaten the piss out of three pretty bad conference teams, including Pitt, who beat us, but they've not won a game away from home yet. They've been a bad road team. We've been a fantastic home team, and I'm still putting a lot of stock in that. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I their quarterback, I always get uneasy playing quarterbacks that can use their legs. Although, gosh, like you said, this defense has just been so solid. I don't think I'm okay if they try to beat us through the air. Like, I'm perfectly okay with that. If they start gashing us with runs and quarterback runs, and that's when I'll start getting pretty nervous. But at home, we've really, you know, been stout in that department. So we're definitely gonna have to lean on them. I'm interested if, for whatever reason, Jarvis doesn't play, if it's going to be Storm Duck, if it's going to be, I think, Trey Franklin. So I don't know. Yeah, I would think it would be Storm Duck as well. But yeah, we'll definitely have to. Not that we're not going to strap it up on D, you know, any different, but we're really going to have to hone in on that side of the ball.
I feel like we will take the same game plan that we had against Duke, because, you know, Kyron Drones, the quarterback who's been really good since they inserted him as the starter in late September, is a running guy. He's not a terrible passer, but that's definitely not his strength. I think you have the same Duke game plan, where you're like, force this guy to beat us with downfield throws.
Yeah.
They rushed for like 350 yards against Syracuse. That's their bread and butter. They want to play that style of game. I think you have to try and take it away, and you have to assume the defense is going to be just as effective in doing that as they were against like Notre Dame and against NC State and against Syracuse and against Virginia Tech this weekend. They should have that same type of game plan. So the defense being this good, it makes me feel a little bit more easy about this than I would ordinarily, because the injuries are certainly a concern.
Yeah.
One thing
I'll be watching for, and we talked about it last pod, we are one of the, you know, best in the country as far as fast starts go. And I think Virginia Tech, if I read correctly, they're a pretty slow starting team. So if we can, you know, keep doing what we're doing in the first quarter. By the way, we won like every coin toss. We've kicked off just about every game, I feel.
We've
like.
Only lost one coin toss so far.
Jeff Brohm effect. Sat would lose every fucking coin toss.
He would. We always lost.
I know. But yeah, if we can get on them early and kind of, you know, dictate how we want the game to go from an offensive standpoint, I think that'll be huge. Because if we fall behind and it's, you know, Jack having to drop back like we did in the Pitt game, that's when you get nervous.
100%. Totally agree. Now, let's all remember, they hate being called VaTech. They put that in their game notes, so that means we call them VaTech because fuck them. I listened to two of their podcasts yesterday when I was killing some time around the house. They are it's a very cocky fan base. Like, they're not necessarily cocky about this game, but there's a lot of talking down to Louisville. There's a, you know, this is how, of course, Louisville fans known to throw money around. That's how they got this recruiting class, and you know, a lot of basketball cheap shots. They bring up the 06 Gator Bowl, which I've listened to Louisville podcast and Virginia Tech podcast. I think everybody forgets Marcus Vick did not get ejected from that game. Everyone says like he was ejected from. No, the cornerback, I think Jimmy Williams was his name, was ejected for pushing a ref early in the game. Vick, they kept him in the game. I remember one of the coordinators afterwards said that he was pleading with Beamer to bench him, and he was embarrassed that they didn't. But Vick played the rest of that game, and I mean, Hunter Cantwell almost died. Trying to win us that game. It was bad.
That game was like one of the more just absolutely pissed off I've been like after a game. Like, I remember
seeing
furious. Yeah, I remember, like, I want to say like Mario scored to start out, and I was like, all right, because like, I think Virginia Tech was favored going into the game because we had Hunter starting, but we went right down the field and scored, and I was like, all right, we're in it, baby. And then, yeah, it seemed like we couldn't catch a break, the whole Marcus Vick thing. Hunter was just taking a fucking beating. So, yeah, like I said, it would be nice, like, if we had a nice – they came in here and beat us on Halloween a couple of years ago. I mean, I know, like you said, we haven't gone to Virginia Tech yet, but – if we could, like, develop some sort of little rivalry with them, I would be all for it.
We had Hunter Cantwell on the radio show, like, 3 or 4 years ago. It was when he first got the Christian Academy head coaching job. And I was like, I've been waiting 15 years to ask this question. I was like, Hunter, there was a story after the Gator Bowl that made national news that you had been, because he took such a beating that people were, like, talking about him, that you got reached out to by one of the stars of the hit reality show Laguna Beach, which I was obsessed with. I was like, was this true? And he's like, that's actually a true story. It really did happen. And I was like, okay, this is what I have to know. Who was it? And he goes,
Talon.
He goes, I don't even remember at this point.
Oh.
And I was like, I was like, oh, that's okay. Don't worry about it. I was like, fuck. Like, I had to know who it was.
It's like, who's your phone carrier? Verizon? Okay, hold on a second. Let's get them on the line.
I'm going to need access to your Facebook account to check these DMs.
Yeah.
If it was low, I need to know.
What is the Laguna area code, please? Thank you.
But that was a bad game for all of us. I remember there was a big storm here in Louisville, too, when it happened. Hopefully we can right the wrong. I mean, this is a huge game. I was talking with somebody about this earlier. When's the last time that we had a November home game, Kentucky games not included, that mattered this much to like an overall season? It's been a long time. This is a huge deal. I was thinking like in November of 2012, we hosted UConn in a game where we could have locked up the Big East championship. We lost in double overtime. That was the same day that we lost to Duke in the Battle for Atlantis title game and found out that Gorky was hurt. It was Black Saturday. Remember when those were the problems we were having?
Yeah, God.
It's like, oh, we lost a close game to Duke without our starting center in a tournament championship game. But that was a big game, even though UConn sucked. It didn't feel like a big game because we could have locked up something. And if it's not that one, I feel like you have to go all the way back to the blackout game against West Virginia. Like, this is as big of a November home game that we've had in a long, long, long time.
Yeah, I think the fans are going to be totally into it. We're getting great weather. It's 3:30. I think the fans know the importance of this game. Like, they're all tuned in to where we're at in the ACC as far as the standings go. I think it's going to be an absolute raucous atmosphere. And yeah, I mean, we're, like you said, we're not really used to this. So it's fun. I'm soaking it in because you never know how many times like these kind of seasons come along. So I'm not taking it for granted. So I am very pumped for Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, it's November 3rd and we're talking about meaningful football, like real national meaningful football for Louisville for the first time since 2016. And one of the, if we're being real, like one of the few times in our lifetimes, it's been rare that we've had this opportunity where it's like, hey, we could win a conference championship. Hey, you know, if crazy stuff happens, we could flirt with the college football playoff. Hey, we're number 13 in the CFP rankings. This is a whole lot of fun. I'm not ready for the fun to stop yet. And I really want to get this win tomorrow. Dan, do you have a Dan in the dumps before we make our previews, or do you want to skip after Tuesdays?
Yeah, no, okay. We can go back and listen to Tuesday. I mean, I do have a lot of bad stuff happen in my life, but we've been clean the last 2 days. So,
have we told the Buckle Up Buttercup story with Breeders' Cup coming?
No, haven't told that one. You probably know better than me. I'll let you tell it.
It was. I think we actually have talked about this, but if not, it's a great story. We had been drinking all day. It was the year. It was 2011. Louisville upset West Virginia.
One of my favorite games, by the way.
Oh, it was fantastic. West Virginia was nationally ranked. We had the cornerback who blew the kisses after the kick return. The president, Andrew Johnson, blew the kisses. It was a wonderful day. But like, we got very drunk in my old house, and we were watching the Breeders' Cup Classic, and I think, I don't even remember who won. Was that Zenyatta? Not Zenyatta. It was somebody. It was a big horse, but it was field?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't.
It was a weird race. But anyways, like, we couldn't figure out who won as it was happening, and you start saying I think it was Blame who won. And we're like, I think that was Blame, and you're like, no, it was Buckle Up Buttercup, and we're like, no, it was Blame, and you're like, dude, it's fucking Buckle Up Buttercup, and you have your program open to the wrong race, and you're staring at the number 8 in like the 9th race instead of the 10th race, and you were just adamant that a horse named Buckle Up Buttercup
won the Breeders' Cup Classic. It was Drosselmeyer.
Drosselmeyer. You're exactly right.
yeah, no, I was absolutely like, I would have put my mortgage on it. It was Butter Up Buckle Cup, and I was like screaming it.
We're like it's Drosselmeyer. You're like, no, dude, it's fucking Buckle Up Buttercup. It's just the funniest thing. It crosses the finish line. No one knows what's going on. You're like, Buckle Up Buttercup. Buckle Up Buttercup.
Yeah, and like, everyone's like checking their tickets. Like, Dan, shut the fuck up. It's not Buckle Up Buttercup. I like sat there looking like an idiot.
All right, let's make predictions. Cards, Virginia Tech, 3:30 tomorrow. ACC Network has the TV coverage. Cards, as of right now, are a 9.5-point home favorite. Dan, what you got?
I mean, God, those injuries, they scare me a little bit. This team, I don't know. This one was really tough. Like, before I had us winning, like, 33-17, I was pretty confident, but I don't want to let the injuries like back me off too much. So I'm going to say we win. I'm going to say 30-17. Like I'll keep it a 13-point game, but I still think we take care of business.
I think we win. I think they cover. I think that it's one of those where we get off to an early lead and they're always within shouting distance, but we're just kind of keeping them at arm's length for the entire game. Jack plays another solid game. Maurice Turner steps up and helps us out. Isaac Rendo has a big game, and the defense comes up with some big late stops. I'm going to say, I think Virginia Tech will score on us more than we've been scored on recently, but I'm going to say Louisville 30, Virginia Tech 26. Barn burner, just get the win, survive in advance, that's all we need, and then we'll get excited for the Glow game on Thursday. Fuck Marcus Vick, fuck Va Tech, let's get this done. Subscribe to the podcast, give us a nice rating, leave us a review. We love you. Let's get this done tomorrow. Let's keep the fun going. Let's keep the dream alive. Go Cards. Beat Virginia Tech.
Come on, baby. Go Cards.